Well, good morning. It's great to be back with all of you at Bible Baptist Church. And I understand that this little device I have on will translate my words into English. Well, that's pretty good. I like that. You guys are getting really high technology here at Bible Baptist Church. Amen. Well, how many of you remember me from last time? Okay, a few of you do. And this is my wife, Patty. And, we are on, right? Okay. We travel all across the United States, and I preach and teach on Bible prophecy. Now, I can't tell the future. Only God can. Amen? I don't have no crystal ball, because that's all fake anyway. Amen? But I do have a Bible. I have a King James Bible here. And this is the inspired, inerrant, authoritative word of the living God. So this morning, we're going to be teaching on current world events in light of biblical prophecy. What is going on in Israel? What is going on in the Middle East? What is going on around the world in light of biblical prophecy? What I do is that I take a current news event, and then I will give you a prophetic perspective on that world event. So we're going to be doing that for Sunday school, for Sunday morning, and for tonight's service. So, you know, my wife and I just got back from Israel about 3 months ago. We were out in the Holy Land, the land of the Bible. We were sharing the gospel with the Jewish people. And we were sharing the gospel with the Arab people. Now, I need you to pray for us, because actually today is October 1st. Am I correct? Tomorrow. So tomorrow's October 1st. Okay. 2 weeks from today, I'm going to be leaving for Israel again. I'm going back to the Holy Land. This is going to be my 22nd trip to Israel. I've been there many, many times. You know why? It's going to be our home for 1,000 years. We're going to be reigning with the greatest Jew to ever walk the face of this earth, the greatest rabbi to ever walk the face of this planet, who was born in that very land where you're going to live for 1,000 years. Amen. Now, how do I know it's going to be 1,000 years? The Bible tells me so. Six times, to be exact, in Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 through 7, where it tells us that Jesus Christ will reign for 1,000 years. It's going to be a literal, physical, bodily reign of Jesus Christ from the holy city of Jerusalem. So we're going to be in Israel October 14th through the 23rd, sharing the gospel with Jews and Arabs out there. We will also be shooting video out there on Bible prophecy. Then on December the 9th, we're going back to Israel again. And we're going back there to share the gospel with the Jewish people once again. Now, after December, come the new year, 2019, my wife and I are going to lead an 11-day Bible prophecy tour to Israel. I want you to go with us. Allow me to teach you Bible prophecy on location in the Holy Land, in the land of Israel. Not only will we be in Israel, but we're going to spend one full day. You may have heard of this place. It's called Petra. How many of you heard of Petra? Petra in southern Jordan. So you're going to get two countries for the price of one. Petra will play a major role in the end times, a major role in Bible prophecy. Why? That's where the Jewish people will be sheltered and protected by God during the last half of that 7-year period of tribulation. When they flee from the Antichrist, God will shelter them there, feed them there, and protect them there for the last half of the tribulation period until they are picked up by Jesus Christ at his second coming. So I want to take you to Petra, and I will be teaching you prophecy in the land of Israel. So two countries for the price of one. And it's an 11-day prophecy tour. The tour price for that is $3,498, and that is all inclusive. That includes your round-trip airfare. That includes your hotels. That includes all your food, breakfast and dinner daily, buffet style. You know, Paul the Apostle said, I buffet my body, right? Well, we're going to be doing the same thing in Israel. We're going to be buffeting our bodies there in Israel. And so all your food is included. Your ground transportation is included. And that includes Israel and Petra in southern Jordan. So if you want more information or if you're interested and want to go with us next year, March 24th to April 3rd, if you're interested, you want to come with us, see me at the end of Sunday school or the end of the service. I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. I want to give you on-the-job training there in Israel. And by the way, if we get raptured in Israel, it's only going to be a domestic flight for us. Amen? Straight up into heaven. So, all right. Now, for the rest of you, it's going to be international. For us in Israel, it's going to be domestic. So, no, I'm just joking with you. But come to Israel, discover the Jewish roots of your Christian faith. And when it's all said and done, you will never read your Bible the same way again. What I want you to do is take your Bibles, go with me to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And for the Sunday school this morning, I want to talk about the Jewish calendar and Bible prophecy. The Jewish calendar and Bible prophecy. If our dear brother can get our first PowerPoint slide up there. I'm going to put this on. We are on already. And so I'm going to go forward. Let's see if we can go forward with this right here. He's going to get that up over there. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter, there we are right there. Thank you. 2 Peter chapter 3, looking at verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Now, the Jewish people just celebrated their new year. See, our new year is coming up January 1st, 2019. But the Jewish people already celebrated their new year. And according to the rabbis, we are right now in the Jewish year 5779. Can you imagine that? See, we say we're in the year what? What year is it now? 2018, right? But see, that's on our Gregorian Christian solar calendar, which is based on the sun. The Jewish lunar calendar, which is based on the moon, which is more accurate than our calendar, says that we are in the year 5779. Now, you ask any rabbi or any Jewish person, why do you say we are in the year 5779? And you know what they'll tell you? This is what they'll tell you. 5,779 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth. That's Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now, I'm going to speak in a little tongues here. Are you ready? I want to speak in some tongues this morning. Bereshit bara Elohim v'hashamayim v'ha'aretz. Now, I know he's not going to be able to translate that. Okay? But I'm speaking Hebrew. And that's Genesis 1:1. Now you can translate. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the rabbis say that happened 5,779 years ago. There's a 223-year discrepancy on the Jewish calendar, but that's pretty much close to 6,000 years. So this is a pretty young earth we live on, right? This earth is not millions and billions and trillions of years old. See, that's just the lie of the evolutionists, because they want to deny that our God exists. They want to deny that there is a holy, righteous God who created everything that we see today. They want to deny that. and then want to lie to your kids in the public school systems and say that God doesn't exist and he did not create the heaven and earth. All this happened by chance. Well, we know that that's a lie. Amen. Notice with me in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 records living in the light of the Lord's return. He is coming back. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Jesus Christ is coming back. Don't let anybody tell you different. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, I'll read. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking in their own lust. And what will these scoffers do in the last days? Verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his fell asleep? All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Let me pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here at Bible Baptist Church. And we're thankful, Lord, for Pastor Kuhn and for the brethren of this church. I pray, Lord, this morning for the Sunday school that you would meet with us and that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would use his word to help us to better understand what is going on in the world in light of biblical prophecy. We know, Lord, that soon and very soon, Jesus Christ will break forth from the heavens. In this next event, we call the rapture of the church. And if there is someone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that today may be the day of salvation for them, because tomorrow may be too late. So, Father, please be glorified now in everything that is said and done here this morning. And, Father, we do ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4 tells us in verse 3 that in the last days. Now, folks, we are indeed living in the last days. I don't see that PowerPoint coming up. Where is it there? All right, well. There it is. Oh, he just said, let me back it up here. There we go. Oh, hold on. Let's back it up here. I'll get used to this thing yet. Nope. Oh. Back it up to the last days, where it says last days. Keep it going. There we go. Now, the Bible says these are the days in which we live. We're living in the last days. We have been in the last days for 2,000 years. The birth of Jesus Christ initiated the last days in which we live. And when you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and I would encourage you to do that when you go home, read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And you will notice when you read that passage, you will count 19 characteristics of the last days. What will they be doing in the last days? Well, the Bible says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Do we see that going on right now? A young generation, they're disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. This world hates your guts. Do you know that? They hate your guts because of who you represent, because of the person that you follow. And I'm talking about Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Then verse 5 says, they will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. They'll claim to be a Christian, but they will deny the authority of this book. They will deny the authority of God's holy word. They claim that they're a Christian, but they will deny that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. They'll claim they're a Christian, but they'll say, well, you know, I haven't sinned in almost 50 years. Well, you just sinned. Well, how did I just sin? Because you just lied. We are all sinners. Amen. Does anybody see a ring over my head? A little halo of, you know what that means? I'm a sinner just like you. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. They'll claim they're a Christian, but they will deny that Jesus Christ is coming back. And that's exactly what we read here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. In the last days, they will deny that Jesus Christ is coming back. And you want to know what really alarms me? The majority of this denial is coming from those within the church. I mean, you say, are you kidding me? I'm not. I wish I was. I'm not kidding you. The majority of this denial is coming from those within the church. The last days began with the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago and will one day end at the rapture of the church, when Jesus Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the Bible says, with a shofar, the trump of God. And when that happens, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The rapture will conclude the church age. We're living in the church age right now, right? Since Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, up until now, we've been in the church age. The church age will come to an end. The last days will come to an end at the rapture of the church. And anybody left behind at the rapture, you're going to be in serious trouble. Because those last days will then turn into the end times. What are the end times? A future 7-year period of tribulation to come upon Israel, unbelieving Israel, and the Gentile nations of the world. Now, Peter warns that as the church age comes to an end, let me go back this way here. As the church age, it's going to start again, right? Come on now. As the church age comes to an end, let's go to that next slide. Let's see if we can go back here again. It's really skipping bad on us here. Okay, let's, right there. Let's stay right there. So as the church age comes to an end, in the last days, we're going to see scoffers. We're going to see mockers who will not only make fun of your faith. They will blaspheme the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will deny that he is coming back. At the rapture of the church, it will close out the church age. The rapture of the church, this event closes out the church age. And then down the road, the Bible says the tribulation period will begin. So it will be a transition period between the church age and the kingdom age. Between the church age and the kingdom age will be that future 7-year period of tribulation to come. The scoffers, the mockers will ridicule the promise of Jesus' return at the rapture of the church. And yet Peter the Apostle further tells us that they will argue about the supposedly unchanged process. See, you Christians have been preaching this for years, that Jesus is coming back. Now, it's been 2,000 years. Has he returned? No, he hasn't returned yet. So that means he is not coming back. Hey, listen, I don't care if he doesn't come back for another 2,000 years. He's still going to keep his promises. And he is going to return. Now, given what's going on in the world right now, Israel, the Middle East, around the world, even here in America, what we see going on right now, Bible prophecy is unfolding, ladies and gentlemen, right before our very eyes. I mean, you got to be a student of Bible prophecy in order to understand that, in order to see that. that Bible prophecy is unfolding right before our very eyes. All because he has not returned back yet doesn't mean he's not coming back. He is coming back, amen? Because these guys, these mockers, these scoffers, they're going to look at you and say, you guys have been preaching that for 2,000 years. What else is new? That's what they're going to say. What else is new? Jesus is coming back. You know how I know he's coming back? John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Remember what Jesus said? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I love these four words, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That is a promise from the Son of God. That is a promise from Jesus Christ that he's going to one day come back and call his church home. He's going to one day come back and call his bride out of the world. And what these mockers fail to take into account is that the people of Noah's day had the same exact attitude. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24? As it was in the days of Noah. I think was it back in May? My wife and I were in Kentucky. And we saw the Ark Encounter. How many have heard of that? It's in Kentucky. It's a massive Noah's Ark. I mean, this thing is absolutely huge. I think it's like 450 feet long. It's about 45 feet wide, 75 feet. I mean, this thing is massive for crying out loud. And they built it according to the dimensions in the Word of God. And when we were there that day, guess what? It was raining. It was raining. We're standing right next to that massive Noah's Ark there in Kentucky. But just as it was in Noah's day, like almost 4,500 years ago, the people of Noah's day had the attitude, there's going to be no judgment. God's not going to judge this world. What are you talking about, Noah? A flood. And a global flood at that. Noah, you are just absolutely crazy. Why are you building a boat, Noah? Where's the water? I mean, there was no such thing as rain yet. Because God watered everything from the ground up. Water never fell from the sky until the day that Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their three wives, and those animals went into that ark. And the moment they went into that ark, who do you think shut the door? Can someone tell me? Yeah, it wasn't Noah. It wasn't his sons. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16 tells us, God shut the door. God shut him in. And once that door was shut, nobody's getting in. And nobody is getting out. You see, God could not destroy the earth with a flood until Noah and his family were safely in that ark. And once they were safely in that ark, all of a sudden the heavens opened. And for the first time in human history, it is beginning to rain. And now all of a sudden, nobody's scoffing at Noah anymore. Nobody's mocking Noah anymore. And now they're beating on the doors. They're trying to get in. Guess what? It's too late. You can't get in. Why? And God shut him in. The Lord shut him in. And then yet Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. The people in our day and age today, 2018, have the same attitude that the people of Noah's day had. Amen? Nothing's changed. What are we doing today? What is mankind doing today? Eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. They were doing that some 4,500 years ago until God's judgment hit with a global flood. Fast forward 4,500 years later, 2018, what are they doing today? Same thing, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. The world makes fun of us. Oh, you guys have been preaching Jesus is coming back. That hasn't happened yet. That's never going to happen. You say, oh, there's going to be a judgment of God coming down the road, a future seven-year period of tribulation. You Christians are absolutely nuts. That will never happen until one day a trumpet sounds, calls the church out of here. At the rapture, anybody left behind, after the rapture, you will go through that terrible seven-year period of tribulation to come. You know, when you look at the book of Genesis, okay, the first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis covers 2,000 years, the first 2,000 years of human history. Genesis chapter 1 is creation. Chapter 2 is the special effects of creation. Chapter 3 is the fall of man. Chapter 4 is the story of Cain and Abel. Chapter 5 is the genealogy, the godly genealogy of Seth. Chapters 6, 7, and 8, Noah and the flood. Chapter 9, Noah after the flood. Chapter 10, another genealogy. Chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. And chapter 12, the call of Abram from Ur of the Chaldees. That is the first 2,000 years of human history. And God said that he will one day destroy the earth with the flood, and that's what he did 4,500 years ago. But then that's why God put that rainbow in the sky. You know why he put that rainbow in the sky? To promise you and I that he will never destroy the earth again with a flood, with water. But that doesn't mean in the future he's going to do it again, but it won't be by water. It'll be by what? Can someone tell me? You got that right, sister. One day, it will be by fire. And that's exactly what 2 Peter, look at verse 10 with me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons are ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12, looking for and hasten unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. God in the future will destroy the surface of this planet by fire. It makes you wonder why we have all these nuclear weapons on planet Earth today. Have you ever wondered about that? All these nuclear weapons we have on planet Earth. America, Russia, China, even Pakistan, an Islamic State, Pakistan, even Israel, all have nuclear weapons. We have more nuclear weapons on the face of this Earth to destroy all life on planet Earth 1,000 times over. And yet 2 Peter says that one day, the day of the Lord will come and the surface of this planet will melt with such fervent heat. Now, can anybody read Hebrew? Remember, you read Hebrew right to left, okay? We read left to right, they read right to left. So we have the Hebrew letters Yod, Vav, Mem. Now that is a Hebrew word, Yom. Y-O-M. Yom. Yom is Hebrew for day. I believe in six literal days of creation. Amen? The six literal days of creation. You see, on our calendar, the Gregorian solar calendar, our day begins at midnight, right? And it ends at midnight. Not for the Jews. You see, for the Jews, their day begins at evening and it ends at evening. That's why when we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 8, the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 13, the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 19, the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 23, the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 31, the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Their day begins at sundown and it ends at sundown. So tonight, when it's 6 p.m. in Israel, it's already Monday morning. That's how it is in Genesis chapter 1. That's why the rabbis go by this system of the Bible. The evening and the morning were the first day. So we see this early on in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. Now, Jesus Christ himself confirms that there are 12 hours in the day. That's John chapter 11 and verse number 9. Jesus said that there were 12 literal hours of the day. That's the reason why, folks, I believe in six literal 24-hour days of creation. They're literal. Six literal days, 24-hour day periods of creation. So don't let the evolutionists lie to you or some of these theistic Christians that say, well, really, day one was really day one of 1 million days. Day two, 2 million. Day three, 3 million. 6 million days of creation. That's nonsense, amen? These are six literal 24-hour days of creation. You see, from Abraham to Jesus Christ is two, actually, I should say, from creation to Abraham was 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus Christ is 2,000 years. And from Jesus Christ until now, almost 2,000 years. Almost 6,000 years of human history. And yet the rabbis say we're in the year 5779. 5,779 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's the reason why, folks, the rabbis go by the Jewish lunar calendar. Right now, we are in the month of September, the last day of the month, which, by the way, would be the Jewish month right there. The Jewish month, Tishrei. They just celebrated all the high holy days, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Tabernacles. They just celebrated the three fall Jewish feasts on the high holy days. But you got to know something about the Jewish calendar. There are 360 days on the Jewish lunar calendar. How many days in our calendar? Exactly, 365. Not for them. Their calendar on the lunar calendar based on the moon. They have a 360-day year with 29 or 30-day months. That's why the rabbis say we're in the year 5779. But you know something? How long will the tribulation period be? 7 years, right? A seven-year period of tribulation to come. That will be after the rapture of the church. But you see, you got to remember something. God is outside of time. Time does not exist to God, amen? He's not on anybody's time clock. You know, when we think about 1,000 years, we say, well, man, that's just a long time. 1,000 years, that's just too long. Not to God. 1,000 years to him is like what? A day. Does not 2 Peter 3:8 tell us that? But beloved, he's talking to you. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Bible says the same thing in Psalm chapter 90, verse number 4. But 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. God is outside of time. It does not exist to him. Well, I found this very interesting news coming out of Jerusalem. Now, I like taking stuff from the horse's mouth. I don't go to prophecy websites. I don't go to any religious websites. I go to the secular websites, especially coming from Israel. And they just celebrated there in Jerusalem a Thanksgiving concert to recall the blessings of creation. Creation going all the way back to Genesis chapter 1:1. According to the rabbis, according to the Breaking Israel News, there was a concert in Jerusalem that will involve 70 nations
to praise God on the anniversary of creation of the world. And again, the rabbis say that happened 5,779, almost 6,000 years ago. And it was sponsored by the Temple Institute, these guys looking to rebuild the third Jewish temple, the Temple Institute, as well as the Sanhedrin. Now, this guy right here, I interviewed him on my radio show. That is Rabbi Hillel Weiss. This guy is the official spokesperson for the Sanhedrin. Yeah, you heard me right. The Sanhedrin, a group of 70 Jewish men who just elected a high priest to oversee temple operations when that third Jewish temple is up and running. When they interviewed Rabbi Hillel Weiss from the holy city of Jerusalem, this is what he said about that event. He said the focus of this event is for all creation, including stars, angels, seraphim, animals, and all of mankind to praise their creator. The world, in fact, all of creation is in danger of annihilation due to the current reality of war, technology, and the volatile geopolitical situation. Therefore, aside from giving praise and thanksgiving to our Creator, the concert will include a plea of forgiveness and a request from the Creator of the world for a beneficial fulfillment of prophecies at this time. Well, you know something, folks? God will fulfill His word. He will fulfill His word, because the Bible talks about the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. Now, that's out of Daniel chapter 9, 24 through 27. And we know that 69 of those 70 weeks have already been fulfilled. The commencement point for the 69 weeks is in Nehemiah chapter 2, 445 B.C. From 445 B.C., all the way to the year 30 A.D. What happened on 30 A.D.? You got it. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of all mankind. He tasted death for every single human being. The death of Jesus Christ ended the 69 weeks of prophecy, or 483 years on the Jewish lunar calendar. From Nehemiah chapter 2 to the death of Jesus Christ was 173,880 days, or, 483 prophetic years. The death of Jesus Christ, Daniel 9:26, fulfilled the 69 weeks of prophecy. But Daniel tells us it's 70 weeks. So, folks, do a little bit of math here. If 69 weeks have already been fulfilled, how many weeks are left? One. That's right. One. Do you know what that 1 week is? That's future. That is still unfulfilled. And what is it? A seven-year period of tribulation to come. Now, here we are right now in what we call the what? The church age. We've been in the church age from Pentecost up until now. The rapture of the church, see right here in the timeline, the rapture of the church takes place. We go to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. The Bible says down the road, the Antichrist will come on the scene and confirm a seven-year peace treaty with Israel. And that peace treaty will be 7 years, a so-called peace treaty. Those 7 years, that final week, is based on the Jewish lunar calendar. So with a little time that we have left here, let's do a little bit of math, okay? And I stink at math, okay? The Jewish calendar is how long in the year? How many days? 360, okay? The tribulation period is how long? 7 years. This is Sunday school now, okay? 7 years. All right. 360 times seven, seven-year period of tribulation, is 2,520. How long is 2,520 days? 7 years. Okay, let's divide that 2,520 by two. If I divide 2,520 by two, do you know what number I... brother. Do you know where that number is found? Go with me to Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 3 quickly. Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 3. You see, folks, you can't find this type of prophecy in the Quran, can you? You can't find this type of prophecy in the book. This type of prophecy in the Hindu Vedas. But only in the Word of God can you find this type of prophecy. It said 1260. 1260. Notice with me in Revelation 11:3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. 1,260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. Now, that's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 6. Revelation 12, 6. And the woman, that's Israel, fled into the wilderness, that's Petra, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days. Do you see those numbers? Based on the Jewish lunar calendar. You cannot fit those numbers, ladies and gentlemen, into our Gregorian Christian solar calendar. They just don't fit. Let me try to fit Daniel's prophecy into our calendar that we go by today, saying that we're in the year 2018. 365 days a year on our calendar. If I take 365 times 7, what number do I come up with? 2,555. Doesn't fit. Our calendar adds 30 days to Daniel's prophecy. It doesn't fit. If I take 2,555 and divide it by 2, I come up with the number of not 1260, but 1,277. Doesn't fit. Our calendar adds 17 days to the prophecy here in Revelation 11:3 and Revelation 12:6. It doesn't fit, folks. What is my point to all of this? My point is simply this. This has everything to do with the Jew and nothing to do with you. You see where I'm coming from? This is a time of whose trouble? Jacob's trouble. That's Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 7, ladies and gentlemen. It is a time of Jacob's trouble. This has nothing to do with the church, which is why the church will not be on the earth during that future 7-year period of tribulation to come. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 7. The Bible says in Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the Jews, and upon thy holy city. What holy city do you think he's talking about? Providence, Rhode Island? What holy city is he talking about? Jerusalem, the holy city of Jerusalem. Again, this has everything to do with the Jewish people, folks, and it has nothing to do with you. The church will not be on this earth. You know why? In the book of Revelation, the church is mentioned 25 times in the book of Revelation. She's mentioned 19 times before the tribulation period, before Revelation 4:2. 19 times she's mentioned before Revelation 4:2. This is way before the tribulation period. And she's mentioned 6 times after the tribulation period, after Revelation 19 and verse number 11. Again, what is my point? Between those 16 chapters in the book of Revelation, where it covers the tribulation period, the church is not mentioned as being on the earth once. We're not there. There's no mention of Christians being on the earth in the tribulation period, and there's no mention of the church being on the earth during the tribulation period. Folks, that's the reason why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. What does pre mean? Before. We will not be here. Why? Let me go back to that timeline right there. This is the church age where we are right now. The rapture happens, and the Lord Jesus Christ takes us home
to be with him. Then the Bible says will be that 7-year period of tribulation, first 3.5 years, last 3.5 years, 7 years in all. And then Jesus Christ will return at his second coming, and he will reign for 1,000 years. In what city? Jerusalem. A literal, physical, bodily reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. The church, ladies and gentlemen, will not be on the earth during this period right here. We are not here. Why? Jesus Christ promised he's going to call us home before that period. Are you with me? Say amen. He's going to call us home before the final week of Daniel's 70th week of prophecy. We will not be on the earth. You might want to write these passages down. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. Another one for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. And then the last one, Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 10. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 10. Those passages I just gave you are proof in the pudding that the church will not be here. Jesus Christ will take us out of this world before that 7-year period of tribulation comes. And in closing, that's the reason why I love that word you see on the screen right there. Can someone read that for me? Maranatha. Oh, by the way, that's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22, where it says, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, cursed. And then Paul says, Maranatha. Maranatha simply means our Lord come. And he is coming. And it's the next main event on God's calendar of events that we call the rapture of the church of the living God. That's out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the shofar, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. John 14, 1. Paul said, comfort one another with these words. Why? Why would he say comfort? Because we will not see one day of that future 7-year period of tribulation to come. That's why we can all shout out and say, Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. The very last passage to close the Bible out in the book of Revelation is, even so come, Lord Jesus. The Bible's all positive, amen, but it ends on an even better positive note. He is coming again, which could even be today. Father, thank you. And we do love you because you first loved us and you gave your son to be our sin bearer, to die on the cross for our sins, for the sins of the entire world. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, for this Sunday school hour, helped us, Lord, to better understand the Jewish calendar in light of biblical prophecy. Knowing, Lord, that one day you will fulfill your word. You will fulfill your covenant promises to Israel, but you will also fulfill your promises to the church.
And that is Maranatha. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Father, be glorified now in everything that is said and done, and bless the next service, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.